Chapter 27. Emma. The outfit on the bed exactly matches the page in the lookbook, right down to the shoes and the necklace. It's the one I picked 2 days ago, but now I'm not sure. My phone buzzes and I grasp at the distraction before I completely lose my mind.
Carter, big day. You ready?
Me. Did I choose the right outfit?
Carter, yes.
Me. You don't even know which one I picked.
Carter, is it from the lookbook?
Me. Yes.
Carter, then it's perfect. Trust your sister.
He has a point. I reach for the trousers and slide them on. My phone rings and I can't help but smile as I slide my Bluetooth earbud into my ear and answer the call. We went over this.
You're getting dressed. You need your hands free.
I roll my eyes, but he has no way of knowing that. See? If we were texting, I could send you a GIF right now that would perfectly depict my reaction to that statement.
But we're not, so instead you should let me pick you up and take you to a celebratory breakfast.
I laugh as I shrug into the blouse. Seems a bit premature unless a certain someone has an inside track they aren't sharing.
All I know is that the draft presentations were turned in 2 days ago. The presentations are to clear up understanding and ask questions, but the final decision won't come until after the demonstration party.
Ugh, I'm already dreading that. My mother received an invitation.
That's good, right? She can see your work.
I guess. I've just never... My mother and my work have never been in the same room before. I don't know how to take it. I sigh. Plus, you'll be there.
That's right. I will be there. Everything is going to be fine.
The idea of Carter standing by me makes my mother's various possible reactions far less daunting. That in itself is both comforting and terrifying. We've only been seeing each other for 2.5 months. Even if we do spend far more time together than the average dating couple, how does he know me this well? Anyway, I say to redirect the conversation to less volatile things. What are we celebrating with this breakfast?
This app is a massive accomplishment for you no matter what happens. That should be honored.
Oh, that's sweet. I slide my feet into the shoes and regret the choice immediately. I refuse to change, though, because I need every advantage I can get. We can do breakfast then, but I'll meet you there. I'm probably going to need to go by the office after the presentation.
You sure?
He clears his throat.
I'm happy to drive you wherever you need to go.
I frown down at the phone, but it's nothing but a blank black square. Are you okay?
Why do you ask?
You're acting weird.
I think that may be you projecting.
He's probably right. Nerves are jumping around in my stomach. I'm probably assuming everyone around me can feel them too. We decide on a breakfast place, and I hang up before grabbing an entire extra change of clothes in case I manage to spill something on myself. When I get to the restaurant, Carter takes one look at me and declares we will talk about anything but the presentation at breakfast, because I already look like I'm about to toss my cookies. Those are his actual words, toss my cookies. This man is charmingly delightful. How are your grandparents doing? I carefully lean over the table to take a sip of my coffee.
Good. Grandmother says you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
He smiles as he lifts his own coffee for a drink. I nod. Well, for what it's worth, my friends think the same about you. He gives me a considering look.
Even Jason?
Even Jason. I grin at him. He grins back. This is the perfect way to start a day like this. Spending time with Carter is going to put me in a happy, relaxed mood that is sure to come through during the presentation. The drive from the restaurant to the museum is uneventful. I check my phone as I climb out of my car. I've got 15 minutes until I'm scheduled to present. That's enough time to feel prepared and not enough to feel nervous. Perfect. Carter's phone rings just as we step into the museum. He frowns at the screen. I look down and see the ID for his agent. He takes the call and listens for a moment.
Okay, Give me a minute. I'll call you right back.
He hangs up and slides his phone in his pocket before placing his hands on my shoulders.
I have to talk to my agent. It might take a few minutes because there could be some other calls as well. You've got this, though. My being in there would just make you more nervous.
I take a deep breath. You're probably right. He gives me a quick kiss.
I'm proud of you. This was a real challenge you took on, and no matter what they say, you should be proud of that too.
He's right. I should be. I am. My first real design. I'm sure lots of people don't win bids with their first designs. I give Carter a wave as he steps back outside and pulls out his phone. As I walk to the boardroom, I can't help but think how cool it would be, though, if my first design is a roaring success. I am not a roaring success. I am, at best, a whimpering failure. Jason won't blame me. I'm not a designer. We hadn't planned to bid for this project, and our reputation won't even be hurt because it has been my name on the schedule instead of the company's. Still, I failed. Oh, technically, they haven't rejected the prototype yet. That will come in 2 weeks when they're demonstrated in their real-world environment. That is going to be embarrassing. I can't not show up. 3 prototypes are expected, and I signed a contract. But that doesn't mean it's going to go well. I brought my best work. It was so much better than where I'd started. I mean, 2 months ago, Carter was ready to bury it, and yesterday he'd actually been proud of it. I even saw him smile a little when the video showed how the animated guide can lead people through the museum. I'd been so sure my work would be well received. It wasn't. They'd compared it to a video game, called it cumbersome and unsophisticated, a distraction, misaligned with the purpose of the museum, gimmicky. I want to go through it all again, walk through it in my head to see where I went wrong, what I can tweak, how I can rephrase the pitch and improve it before the demonstration. All I can think about right now, though, is how hard this bench is. It really is uncomfortable, like a rock or cement instead of a piece of wood. Maybe it's petrified wood. Isn't that essentially a rock? Did they make it this bad on purpose? Maybe they don't like for people to linger and contemplate life. Or can art only be seriously considered when a person stands around in a self-important pose? Maybe it's an aesthetic. The straight, flat planks of pale wood do look a little like a piece of a picture frame. Is this what a picture feels like as it rests in a frame? Maybe art is so unapproachable because it's uncomfortable. Clearly, my emotional avoidance skills are in good working order because my mental wanderings have gone off the fence full deep end in order to not think about what just happened. I turn the phone around in my hand, launch the app, and aim it at one of the test paintings. The tour guide appears. If I had headphones in, I'd hear his happy little voice. Carter enters the room, his face grim, his mouth pressed into a tight line of sympathy. I frown. Why isn't he happy? Where's the encouraging man from breakfast? Why does he look prepared to offer me comfort? He's not coming from the direction of the boardroom. How could he know? Had I dropped my professionalism while I was in the boardroom? Did someone from the board text him because they knew I was upset? He sits on the bench and wraps an arm around me.
I'm sorry, Emma.
I don't say anything as my brain churns through the options, searching for anything but the obvious one. That he knew, before we came here today, what the board members were going to say. He'd known while I polished my presentation. He'd known at breakfast this morning. And still, he'd said he knew I was going to do my best. He'd expected my best to fail. You knew. My voice is flat. It matches the feeling in my stomach. How did you know?
Know what?
That they were going to hate it. He sighs.
You're a brilliant programmer, Emma. You know that.
what Carter isn't saying slams into me. He isn't saying he didn't know. He isn't saying he loves the app and he's going to make the board see that. He isn't even saying that while mine is good, he knows there's a better prototype because he has access to the draft proposals. I want him to say any of those things right now, because the alternative is that he never thought I had a chance. His hand rubs up and down my back, offering comfort that feels sticky and cold.
Your tour guide, well, he's a neat gimmick. I think it would be a great tool to use in an elementary classroom to talk about art styles or history. Maybe even an app or a video game to get children interested in art. But a museum isn't just about education. It's about connection, and this doesn't align with that mission.
Gimmick. Elementary. Video game. Doesn't align with the mission. A weight hits my stomach, rolling and tightening as if it has strings connected to every part of me and is determined to pull me into a crumpled little ball. He's made it worse. Somehow, he's actually made it worse. Because he didn't just know they weren't going to like it. He told them why they shouldn't. You told them that. He frowns.
Told them what?
What you just told me. You said those same things to them.
I'm just a consultant, Emma. They asked me what I thought when the drafts came in a couple of days ago, and I told them. My words don't carry that much weight.
How interesting. Because your words were the exact ones they used. I can hear my blood as it rushes past my ears, and it sounds like my mother's voice telling me I'm an excellent executor of other people's ideas. Then it's my art teacher's voice telling me I don't have Amy's inspired vision. Finally, it's Carter's voice repeating the words my memory has no problem recalling from moments earlier. The cords pulling me tighter snap, and I no longer feel like I'm collapsing. Instead, I'm shattering. I spring to my feet as if I can somehow catch the pieces. You let me sit in your studio with schematics and design specs and never once thought to tell me you were going to let me fall flat on my face. No, not let me fall. Give me a great big push. My voice is still flat and calm. I'm not yelling. Shouldn't I be yelling?
Emma, that's not—
You sat through my presentation. He nods.
Yes, I—
And you said it was good.
And it is.
He stands as well and shoves his hands in his pockets.
Just not for this.
Where's the hurt? This should hurt, shouldn't it? Why do I feel nothing but numb? He places a hand on my shoulder while the other pulls his phone from his pocket.
This isn't sophisticated. You know that. It's easy to think having a visual component in addition to an audio-based guide would be interesting and modern, but asking everyone to walk around with their phones out would be cumbersome. Not only would they not connect with the art, they wouldn't even connect with each other.
And there it is. Every single dagger they'd thrown at my presentation over the space of 20 minutes has now come out of Carter's mouth in less than 5. An iceberg lodges in my chest. I'm the Titanic going down, and it's just a matter of time before I fall apart. If I'm going to be able to drive home safely, I need to do it now. I push past Carter and walk toward the door. He follows.
Where are you going?
Home.
Do you want me to come over? I can pick up Chinese. Maybe a bag of M&Ms.
Comfort food. The iceberg creator himself wants to offer me comfort. I think you've done enough for today. I push out into the parking lot and stride to my car. Carter, half a step behind me the entire way.
Emma, wait.
Out of curiosity, I say as I dig in my bag for my keys. What are they going to say to the other two?
I don't know. I didn't know what they were going to say to you.
Okay, then. What did you say about the other two? He shrugs.
They're both audio-based. One's more traditional. People will be familiar with the device. The other seems more cutting edge. It uses a phone-like controller, but it can be put away once the room tour is selected. Their decision will really come down to the content editing.
The first crack in the ice wall is forming. Fortunately for me, the first emotion to push its way through is anger. So, it's only mine you had a true opinion on.
You know, I don't like your idea.
No, I knew you didn't like my idea. Back before you knew me, before you taught me about art, before you watched me work on it. Clearly, I was wrong about how you feel about it now. I thought you liked it.
I like you.
And yet, you didn't think to warn me that this meeting would be an absolute slaughter. If I ride this wave of anger carefully, it can get me all the way home before I fall apart. I reach for something to give me another surge of protection and recall the one comment I haven't yet heard Carter repeat. I pull open the car door and throw my bag toward the passenger seat. With one foot inside, I turn to him. You no longer have to worry about my work cheapening the value of artistic expression or flattening the potential for human reaction. He frowns.
I never said that.
Good to know they can think for themselves, then. I slide into the seat, but Carter catches my door.
Emma, I never said any of those things about you. I was talking about the project.
And the Times art critic was only talking about your paintings.
Emma, we are more than this project.
I look at him and my heart aches. Right now, I'm not sure we're anything. With a mighty heave, I wrench the door shut and slam my foot on the gas. Unfortunately, my steady little hybrid doesn't make a satisfying roar as I drive away. It emits nothing but a whiny little whir that feels appropriate, as I'm not sure what else I have to give.